I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
You know, we'll never know who that specific caller was. It did sound a whole lot like Roll Tide Willie, but whoever it was who was just like, please, please no Dabo, please, I will set myself on fire. He's got to be pretty happy with Nate Oates and company as they took down North Carolina last night. What's up, everybody? It's a Friday edition of Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Kyla Brown hanging out with us behind the glass, taking care of us. Dr. Mike Gustafson en route here to the Raymar compound. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions to the action last night. Of course, you had opening day results. You had a couple disappointing Red Raider results, both on the diamond, one here in Lubbock, one in Orlando. The nice thing about both of those is it's a series, so you have games two and three. We'll dive into plenty of that. You can take us anywhere with the mobile apps brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News now and on YouTube. And if you're on social media and you're feeling frisky, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Kyler, how's your Friday going?
It's going pretty good. I was pretty excited, even though I didn't get to watch the full game yesterday. I was pretty excited to see my Rangers win in walk-off fashion last night. I enjoyed it, man. I watched the highlights, and it was a good game.
Were you ready to – I mean, I saw, like, people ready to go at that ump's throat there in the top of the ninth with the foul tip called swing and a miss, no contact, because it was, like, immediate anger that I saw on Twitter.
I was able to look at that a little bit. I didn't really look too far into it, but I did see what happened. And the very first thing I noticed was Jonah Heim got up and he was livid. Mm-hmm. At first, I didn't even realize what happened. And then I looked at it and I was like, well, that's going to be controversial.
And it was. But, you know, as Rasheed Wallace used to say, ball don't lie.
Yeah.
It gets tied up by Jankowski. And then, Jonah Heim plays hero there at the end. Absolutely. So you have that result. Astros, they lose their first game. Everybody in the division outside of the Rangers lose it. So an immediate series.
Immediate great start.
Immediate lead for the Rangers, which means that, you know, through all the baseball you have left, they will win the AL West. Mark it down. We now welcome in the one, the only, Dr. Mike Gustafson. And as we bring him in, we get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Massive disappointment on the Florida Diamond. No doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. What's up, Gus?
Happy it's Friday, boys.
You seem right? Like you're sprinting around.
Yeah, I am.
Coming in hot.
Yeah, I am. No doubt.
Yeah.
Coming in hot.
Oh, man, you're even having to, like, fix the buttons.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever want to see me shirtless, I'm out here in the parking lot every day at about 2:55, so.
Did you make some dollar bills out there, too, or was that something else? Something different?
No. Cashless.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yep.
All that shirtlessness and no cash and lean to go with it. Red Raider baseball does lose. It's Gus, to me, you know, it's not just that you lost on a walk-off, but it's like one of the two worst ways to be walked off, and that's either a walk-off or, like last night, a hit-by-pitch walk-off. And, you know, up to the ninth inning, Josh Sanders had been great. I mean, looked fantastic. And that's the first time we've seen him since he hit his foot, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. And
he buzzed through what? Retired the first six he faced, right?
Yeah, six up, six down, and then ninth inning gets away from you. I've seen some of this today. Of course, I was doing show earlier with Collier, and we said, you know, why didn't he get pulled? You did have a couple arms warming up. I know one was Utera, but I mean, Sanders is one of your trusted guys.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And you still get into that. What, you're still just an out away after he kind of grinds through some stuff that would have at least given you a chance to go to another inning, but boy, it just gets away from him, and a disappointing result, no doubt.
Yep. And those dudes, I mean, they're making it, what they're doing, unfortunately, is finding ways to lose. And what I mean by that is the proverbial, where if you're finding ways to win on the day where you don't hit, you pitch and defend really well, and you win that one 3-2, and then the next day you don't pitch and hit very well, but you win at 9-8, and you're finding ways to win. Right now, they're doing the opposite. There were key moments in that game that we're not thinking about right now.
Yeah.
That outs weren't made. You know, ground balls are hit in the infield, outs not made, pop up, out not made. I mean, there's an inning right there. There's who knows how many pitches.
Well, then offensively missed opportunities.
Oh, I'm not there yet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
That's a 1-for-10. Yeah, I mean, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. And some days that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You got to be able to pitch and defend your way around that. Mm-hmm. And they're just – I mean, I don't know another way to say it. They're just finding ways to get beat. And it's a mistake to think, well, it's a pitching or it's a hitting or it's a defense. No, it's the whole roster. I mean, and the other thing we can do is go down the you can go down that roster. Go to the conference-only stats. Go down there. I mean, like, you know, when you're seeing a slugging percentage of, I'm not picking on individual guys, just pointing it out. Like, you got, you know, Gavin Cash's slugging percentage is like 340. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, hey, that's not who he is.
Yeah.
And
that's not like what the strength of him is as a player. It's just like going against all the tendencies you built up last year in a terrific season.
Oh,
and just what his approach is and what you're expecting out of him and why you have him there in the lineup.
Right. And again, that's no, he may be working and fighting it and all the things in a way that satisfies Coach Tadlock, not in terms of the performance, but just, that he's grinding and trying to fix things and whatever. He probably wouldn't be on the field if he wasn't, but it's just, you know, like we can go down that list and it's like the things we thought were assets in January and early February, you look on that list and they're, you know, not getting it done. Mm-hmm. But you got to be able to pitch and defend your way around a 1-for-10 day, because there's going to be other days where you're 7-for-16 and, you know, score a bunch of runs and all that stuff comes easy. But,
what's frustrating is for the most part, you did until
– Yes.
Until you find a way to give it up.
Yes.
We'll get into that and more when we come back. Headlines, you got the juice on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown behind the glass. Hope you got a great weekend in store for you. If you're looking for Red Raider baseball, it'll be an hour from now for pregame coverage here on Double T 97.3. Texas Tech looking to bounce back in Game 2 against the Knights there in Orlando, Florida. 640 over on 100.7 the score. Speaking of looking to bounce back, the Astros... the Astros and Rangers played in two great baseball games for night one. Astros fell a little bit short against the Yankees 5-4.
I mean, you get a guy thrown out at the plate in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's you don't love the result, but just in terms of being captivating to the very end, that's as good as it gets.
Both of them for different reasons. Of course, you have the banner unveiling, Gus, for the Rangers. And it took a little bit to get the right side of it down. I was cracking up because everyone there is so excited. Awesome moment. I was talking earlier. I think that's you know, if you're a fan of a team that's won a World Series, and now the Rangers are getting to live through this, right? You get to live through the off season as well. And to me, and maybe if you've you know, like, been a fan of the Yankees for a long time, and you're just kind of like, oh, when, even though it's been a drought now, it's like, oh, when are we just getting another one? Maybe a little bit different. But if you're like me, like a Royals fan, who got to do this in 15, or the Astros who've got to do this of late, mm-hmm. or now the Rangers fan, I think in the off season, like, that buzz just does not die. Mm-hmm. And I know if you're a baseball fan, you're always excited for baseball to get here, but all you get to do in the off season is anytime you see a highlight, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, my team won the World Series. Sure. Oh, we won this World Championship. And now you finally carry that over. To me, it's like the season never ended, even though you're celebrating the whole way. You finally get into game one. You get to drop the banner. And then you have the game that you had last night for game one. Again, long series, but just carrying over that excitement and that level of joy and fandom. Couldn't have asked for more drama in a game than the Rangers went over the Cubs. And then extra innings, foul tip controversy, immediately getting it back in the ninth to send it to extras, and then Jonah Heim, which here I don't understand, Gus. I don't understand why that isn't a reviewable play.
When I saw the clip, because I was at Turnpike Troubadours last night, so yeah, all of the things we're talking about, I saw nothing, but I can tell you about that.
Yeah.
And it was great. but I read and, you know, did the normal catch up to know what we're talking about. But the one clip of it very clearly shows the ball redirect.
Oh yeah,
off the tip of the bat. Yes. And I get it, that especially those ones down there at the bottom of the strike zone, you know, that becomes really tough on umpire, because and probably a loud buzz in ballpark, I'm sure.
Oh,
but
especially in that moment.
Yeah,
oh,
because,
man,
you know, if you foul that thing up, if I tip that pitch up, in other words, if I get the bottom of the baseball and it fouls into the catcher's chest or something, mm-hmm. like that, that umpire's going to see that, you mm-hmm. know, 999 times out of – I mean, that one's such a – I don't want to say easier call, but it is. It just is. Mm-hmm. But the one that's down at the bottom of the strike zone that involves the dirt like mm-hmm. that, you got three things going on. Is it a foul ball? You know, and then you know, foul, not foul, and then the catcher's trying to block the thing up, and you know, Himes standing there looking at it, and you got to be careful about it. And he addressed that in the postseason, mm-hmm. In the postgame, going, hey, that was foul ball, you know, and umpire's not giving it to you. Really take off and chase the ball down. But when you saw it on the replay, like, it really wasn't even close. Because a lot of times when you do that, ooh, did that pitch hit him on the foot? And you see the little puff of dirt, mm-hmm. and it's right next to his shoe, and you go, "Eh, we're not going to get that." You know,
yeah.
That's really hard. Baseball's flying 95 miles an hour, or whatever. That one was from the center field camera was pretty dang obvious, especially once they slowed it down. We didn't need 72 replays to go all Zapruder film to figure that one out.
And this is, you know, telling this to Kyle. My frustration with it wasn't the ump missing the call, because it's easy afterwards when you slow everything down and you got all the camera angles. And like you mentioned, where that pitch was low, you know, I assume that could be very much human nature, and if you miss the call, you still miss the call, but very human nature to not see that, because in real time it's kind of a tick, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And then when you slow it down, it's like 100% that hits the bat. So it wasn't frustration with the umpire to miss that call, it's the frustration of not being able to go and fix that, right? But to what you were saying is something else. Like, if you're Jonah Heim, because you're standing there, I mean, that guy scored from second base on what was deemed a wild pitch.
Yeah.
And so at a certain point, you have to go get the baseball. But you get to play the hero at the end. So a little
validation
worked
out
there.
Worked out really well for mm-hmm. the Rangers on when you don't get that tough call in that key spot there, and you feel like, man, that could have changed the game. You know, sometimes that call didn't get made, and it's 5-1, and you're, hey, we'll be all right. But tough one, and they're resilient, and I think their bats and their bats are going to work enough to keep them in a lot of games and be
Boy,
tough to beat.
Adolis got another Adolis shot last night. Goodness gracious.
Yep. And then they got a functional enough bullpen appearance there to go win a game, obviously. Mm-hmm. And what this team's strength is, the beauty of it is if you're relevant, you can get after, if you can hang around like we talked about yesterday. If you're in it at the All-Star break, then you can start to go, hey, we can go get this bull. You can go get, the Cuban missile from Kansas City.
And Mr. Twitter.
In early July and change, and impact your bullpen in a way. Now, that particular trade at this moment is looking it'll be difficult to ever have a real problem with anything that led into winning a World Series, right? Mm-hmm. You can always go, hey, we won a World Series, we're good. But it's starting to look like Cole Reagans is the real deal, and that's for a bullpen piece. I mean, that feels like he's a real legit major league starter.
They're not going to give him up. They're going to be the ones looking to add pieces, yeah. Gus.
No, I know. But I'm saying the Royals got, the Royals' ability, where they are at this point. Mm-hmm. They're able to take a guy like Reagans. There's not a ton of pressure on him. He gets there and settles in, starts pitching every 5 or 6 days, and all of a sudden he's productive at a level that you go, oh, yeah, Rangers are going, we can take that guy back if we could redo that. not that maybe we could find somebody else to trade, but Reagan seems to have his feet on the ground. I don't think the Rangers felt like they were trading away at that point an opening day starter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what, when he got to Kansas City, the numbers improved dramatically.
Right.
I do like to think, in the offseason, they sat down with him and, look, Cole, there's a reason we wanted you. You performed really well. You're going to be the ace for us.
Sure.
But no pressure, because no one's going to really cover us. So, I mean, just go with that what you will. Go do your thing, Cole. let it rip.
Like it.
It is a Tech Talk on Double T 97.3. When we come back, we will go back in time. Stay with us right here on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Time to take a trip in the old time machine. Quint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Kyler Brown behind the glass taking care of us. Keep hitting us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll play a little catch up there in just a moment. Plenty of baseball thoughts pumping in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We will get to all of those. But first, Gus, where are we going to first? Almost two firsts, now three today. First.
Let's go. There was a couple tech deals that weren't stellar, so we'll keep moving there. They're all good, but nothing that just leapt off the page
that.
At me.
Not
well,
stellar.
I don't mean that. But
you, sir, are completely unremarkable.
You and I've had fun with some of these statistical things in the NBA over the years. Boston's Bill Russell on this day in 1960. Boston's Bill Russell pulls down an NBA record, NBA Finals record, 40 rebounds.
That's crazy.
As the Celtics lose to St. Louis, 113-103 to even the series at 1-1.
It's impressive anyway, but does it say by chance how many were offensive?
I know. No.
Again, any ratio is incredible, but if you were hey, 2020, that would be even crazier to me. Dude, keep that guy off the glass.
Well, the St. Louis and the St. Louis Hawks in the mid-60s moved to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And my dad can remember this team because St. Louis had a couple good teams right around this era, 58. And one of the few championships that Bill Russell didn't win was to Bob Pettit and the St. Louis Hawks right in there. And it might have been this year. I can't remember. But Pettit in this game has 35-22. So the rebounding numbers are just crazy, man.
So maybe it's the opposite. No one was crashing the boards at all. They're like, you know what? We missed it. Your guys' turn.
It really is interesting. And I bet Bill Simmons, and I read the 700-page tome, and he talks about this kind of stuff. But you know, to really know why though, because you can look at Texas Tech's rebounding records, and old Jim Reed, who's one of our Ring of Honor guys, was just pulling down 25 a game. He was like, or 22 a game, which is ridiculous. And that's not to say he's not a good rebounder, but like, he was fantastic. It was just like, you know, each team was resigned to one guy doing it, or just a couple doing it. Like, they may not have crashed five the way we do now.
Who's the – because, like, Kevin Love had some crazy numbers in there collegiately, and then especially with his time with the T-Wolves. But you think of, like, standout, quote-unquote, rebounders, I know, like – again, this is where I'm going with – where I agree with you. I think maybe the game is just different. And also, everyone is just athletic – as crap now, from professional all the way down, and people are just getting better and better. So maybe that's part of it. But like, that's the one kind of standout guy I can even think of in the past 20 years.
Oh, sure. On this day, 1990, Hakeem Olajuwon, the third player in NBA history to achieve a quadruple double during a win over the Bucks, goes 18 points, 16 rebounds, 11 block shots, 10 assists. On this day, 1994, Jimmy Johnson quits as the head coach of the Cowboys. On this day, 1996, the Cleveland Browns, that had moved from Cleveland to Baltimore, choose the name for their relocated team, the Baltimore Ravens, of course. A couple of birthdays, you know, Glenna Goodacre Drive out here, daughter Jill Goodacre, gorgeous model, all that. She was born on this day in Lubbock, Texas, 1965. She's in an episode of For Friends, and yeah.
What episode do you remember?
Weren't they stuck in an elevator? Wasn't he stuck in an elevator one time? It was, I think that's right.
Oh,
Chandler, one of them.
It was a bank. Like a subway.
They were stuck in a bank.
There you go. That's it.
Oh, I thought it was
that's
a
her.
Subway.
And she was like a Victoria's Secret model or something. Never did anything untoward, but stood around her underwear a bunch. Yeah, lovely. Cy Young was born on this date, and also born on this date, Earl Campbell.
I get to make this joke twice today. Oh, I'm sorry. Just a great game. On second and eight, Campbell just outruns everyone to the right. Look out. He's gone. He makes it all the way. Puts his head down. 80-yard touchdown. This is over. What a show this man has put on tonight.
That was a
Monday. Yeah. Football. But now talk about the Hot Links. Where's the Hot Links commercial?
Yeah.
Come on, Kyler, hit the Hot Links.
That was a Monday night game, and I think he went 28 for 199 and four touchdowns and became a sensation. That was his rookie year. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody knew about him anyway because he'd won the Heisman all that the year before, but he burst onto the scene. Cosell was going bonkers over that.
Who do you think of when you think of Oilers old school uniform?
Them. First? Him. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. Mine. On this day, 2007. 19-year-old Rihanna released Umbrella.
You should do the little like duck walk she does in the video. It's real sassy.
I'll watch that video 17 times just to, you know, just to. That song would go to. It was released on this day. It would go to number one. It was the longest running number one song since Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You."
Oh, nice.
Also on this day, last thing, R.I.P. Joe Diffie.
Yeah,
kind of campy and perfect. He
one of those two artists that, did a Super Bowl show pregnant. I'm gonna let you guess which one was which.
Yep. Joe Diffie died on this day in 2020, some COVID related complications. He had 5 number one hits on his own, and then. But for people my age that love that, you know, you'll hear a lot of people talking about 90s country and. You know, that kind of stuff. There's a couple of 90s country bands going around town playing gigs. Joe Diffie's kind of right in the center of all that. Wrote a bunch of those songs, too. I mean, not just the ones he had hits with, but was a guy that wrote a bunch of hits.
Those types of artists are very intriguing to me. Like, who's it? Sia. No,
100%.
She's got a bunch of her own hits, but she's written a ton for other popular artists. And like, that is bonkers to me. Like, because I'm like, how do you decide what you want to use for yourself and be like, oh, well, she's known for this song. And what do you want to be like, you know, here you go, Britney Spears. Why don't you take this and run?
And your girl, T-Swift has written a bunch of hits for other people, which is amazing because she's had so many of her own hits.
She's a hit maker. It is Tech Talk.
Jewel Goodacre married to Harry Connick Jr. Good catch, everybody. Yeah. Perfect.
Also, they say an ATM vestibule. I did not expect to stumble over that word today, but there we go. 30 more minutes with us on the other side. It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Day two of the Big 12 Pro Day that we talked about yesterday. Awesome event. Now, the Red Raiders going today, and some of them have already completed their workouts. But that featured today for Texas Tech, Austin McNamara, Cole Spencer, Rusty Stats, Dennis Wilburn, Miles Cole, Jalen Hutchings, and Tyreek Matthews. Again, 13 Red Raiders were sent to this, including a great 40 time from Xavier White, who I believe had the fastest, not just of his group, but I believe of the day.
Yeah, that's a good deal for him.
Or at least in the morning.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a shot to be in camp with somebody.
Yeah.
Because you can look at, and we're talking about Xavier White. Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope I did anyway.
Yeah, I think you did. I think that's a guy that could probably have a pathway to, or a pathway to consideration through special teams play. Mm-hmm. You know, can he be a return guy, that kind of thing. Because the athleticism is there. And he can catch and do that. I'm not saying that, but I don't think he's drafted just to be a star receiver as much as, hey, we may have you at the back end of our receiver rotation, but you got a chance to be a special teams guy.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, he'll have to embrace that, obviously.
And I wonder, just because this is where my mind goes with him first, but, you know, special teams are, if you're a guy that can be productive, you know, if you make a roster, you'll be on a spot somewhere out there. It doesn't have to just be a return man. But, you know, I wonder if the special teams player becomes valued even more with the new kickoff rules, because I would think that this is going to lead to more returns. And, again, with the new rules, it's 35-30. You know, if it's a touchback, it brings it out even farther now to the 30-yard line. So it would seem like you would want to put it in play between 20 and the goal line. You know, can't move until it hits the ground or until touched by the return man. I would think kickoff return numbers are going to start going up. Yeah. And so maybe you see the value of special teams guys, which wasn't completely lost because you still have to field punts and stuff like that. And even, you know, on the now old kickoff rules, there were still obviously a need to fill out those spots and make sure you had the right guys in there. But I wonder if this gets valued even more because I think the return rates are going to go up.
Yeah, could 100% be right about that. And I'm sure smart people within the game are going to have a feel for the, you know, sort of the analytics around that.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like by doing it the way they're doing it, they can create a safer kick return. Dudes aren't having to run 60 yards and just –
right, that contact is only 5 yards apart. Yeah,
right.
you're basically
exactly.
And the way that everyone's lining up in front of each other, it's not even quite like offensive lineman to linebacker, because a lot of times you have to get through traffic to get to your blocking assignment. So,
yep.
Again, I'm way in on that change if it gives us returns, and that is what you saw from the XFL a few years ago. In its like second life of three, I don't know.
You know, an interesting part of football history and rules innovations and stuff, mm-hmm. is that several of them have come out of the spinoff leagues,
mm-hmm.
WFL, you know, World League, those kind of things. And I can't be specific about which ones are which, but even in the way the games were covered, some of that came out of the original XFL and some of that. And you know, those leagues by and large have never interested me, but I do, what they do become is some proving grounds for different rule ideas and stuff. Because the NFL, professional football, doesn't have a minor league in which to practice to mm-hmm. Whereas minor league baseball can say, hey, we're going to try this pitch clock. We're going to do an A ball.
Yeah.
And go gather some data and go get the feel for it anecdotally, whatever. The NFL, if they want to gather data, try it in some preseason games. But they can also see this stuff in action with some of these other leagues. And XFL and World League and some of these other ones have had to do these type of things to differentiate themselves anyway.
Yeah.
Letting cameras in the huddle and some of that kind of stuff, which they may not, microphones in different places and whatever. Just, again, whether it's been a rules innovation like this kickoff thing or just the differences in the way it's covered, those spinoff leagues have had some value.
Yeah, because, it's kind of like this year when you were trying out the iPads in bowl season, right? Like the NFL right. isn't going to instill something. And I know that they have preseason to do some of this as well. But if you have kind of hand in hand a fake minor league, which is kind of what sure. I look at it as, because those guys, what are they still playing for? It's not like, oh boy, it was my dream to play in the XFL, USFL, no. now UFL. No, you're doing roster. This, yeah. yes, to make an NFL roster. Mm-hmm. And so some of it can be gimmicky. Some of it is useful. I loved, I think it was the XFL too, that had like whenever you would go to a review, like they would take you through everything that they were doing, like up in the booth where right. the ref was up there and had the little Xbox controller, which was kind of funny going through like the replays and stuff. But you got to see the process of it and why they would make a decision on something.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Solving life's mysteries one at a time.
I do that for Texas Tech football. It, my mysterious
bomb pops?
Yes.
Bomb pops are in the Jones Stadium press box?
Yes. And they're fantastic. Damn. And you know what? I selectively wait to eat them when Texas Tech needs a big drive. And you've seen it. Oh. I feel like I've got a pretty good batting percentage up there. I'm just saying.
First of all, batting average. Don't ever say batting percentage.
Excuse me, batting average.
You say percentage. You say shooting percentage. You could.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
30 more minutes with us here on Tech Talk. Got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Get your questions in for an early edition of Ask Tech Talk brought to you by Visual Edge IT. That'll be coming up next. We got this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Listening to Josh Young while he was playing was the coolest thing I've seen in a while. That from Dan in Dallas. We thought that was cool too. So
yep.
There was a lot we could have pulled from, but you and I both thought this question with him involving Wyatt Lankford was interesting. This is what it sounded like in his in-game interview.
The man at third base, Josh Young. Last name is spelled J-U-N-G, but it's pronounced Young. And you've got some babies on this team, Josh, with Lankford and Carter. Tell people at home what it's been.
Let's go, baby.
What it's been like to have Wyatt Lankford around.
I mean, I lived with him in spring training. It was a lot of fun. Young talent like that, it's just incredible how calm, how confident he is. He got drafted, seven months ago? So it's quite incredible what he's done so far.
We'll start with Madrigal, followed by Gomes as Evaldi throws the first one. And he swings, sends it towards the line and right, and it will listen to you and go foul. So how does that work? You lived with him. What was that like? You didn't know him before, or did you?
No, I didn't. He got drafted. He came and hit BP with us, and that's when I met him. But I reached out to him. I wanted him to live with me in spring training, and it ended up working out. And it was a great time, truly. Cooked dinner for him, and he didn't complain about it, so that's step number one, right?
That's awesome.
It's funny his that he says it that way, because I'm trying to think of where I heard this. I don't know if I heard it from him. Maybe I did hear it from him. Could have been from his mom, dad, I can't remember, but it's somewhere in there amid the injuries. I can't remember if it was a foot deal a couple years ago or whatever, but I think he was getting the same experience with one of the veteran pitchers. either living with them or spending a bunch of time with them. It may have been one of the veteran pitchers that was hurt, and they were together at extended spring. Basically, the team goes to Arlington, and they stay behind in Arizona to keep. Mm-hmm. And like, the veteran pitcher showing them how to cook. And, like, I don't just mean crap we eat, but, like, real food, you know, like – taking care of
that
his nutrition
like a shot at beefaroni, so yeah, okay.
And all, right. All that candy I give you every week.
Yeah.
So anyway, the nutrition side of that and him cooking, like, to me, knowing a little backstory, I thought, yeah, that matches everything I've heard. Probably teaching Langford, yeah, like, how to eat. Now, it is going to be interesting to see this generation of college athletes come through and start funneling their way into the professional sports, who have kind of had their nutrition put to them on the proverbial silver platter in college, like, yeah, part of nutrition plans and programs and things that are way more structured than
steak
they've ever
and
been.
Salmon.
Yes, you know, that a guy like Wyatt Langford's going, yeah, at Florida we had this and this and this, you know, and or a Texas Tech athlete now would say that, like, as opposed, yeah, to just having, you know, bananas and peanut butter sandwiches and stuff like that, which was better than the drive-through crap that I ate on my way to games 40 years ago. But, you know,
picking up a McRib on the way to four for four.
Dang close, absolutely.
Barbecue sauce post-game, on the sandwich, barbecue sauce on the bat.
Those Tuesday doubleheaders that we used to play, post-game was that Taco Mayo, one of those taco deals like that. It was where the freeway, when it was torn down, the freeway got it. It was north of football stadium, and they had like 39-cent tacos. So it was real easy for me at 10:15 on a Tuesday night post-game doubleheader to go over there and rip about three of those, you know. Yeah. So anyway.
And that interview had a lot of cool stuff with it.
That was
obviously
so much fun.
We couldn't sit here and just play the whole 5 minutes, although we'd love to. But he records two outs while it's happening.
Yeah, two chop. The first and third outs of the inning are ground balls hit to him, and he's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to get you guys a ground ball. And then the second one was my favorite part, as he's throwing it, right, what a little slow chopper, mm-hmm, right to him, gets it right about in the midsection. Calmly, cool, collects, throws over to first, and as he's throwing, he's like, oh, I love those.
Yeah, that's easy money. That is easy money.
All the while doing the interview, doing his job, and then we were talking about doing baseball chatter, like he did a couple of games. Come on, Neil, come on. And then going back to them and telling them funny stories. In the middle of that, he had just talked about how he's a better Fortnite player than Jace Young. Hilarious.
Yeah, they asked about who's a better player in 5 years, and he's like, oh, he's going to be awesome, blah, blah, blah. I'd have to give myself the edge or whatever. And then he said the deal about, nah, I am way, right,
yeah, way better at Fortnite.
I waste him in Fortnite or something, or I'm 10 times whatever it was that he said about that little wisecrack. Yeah. But, yeah, so good. I mean, he came across fantastic. And they usually don't mic up the quiet guy that didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Josh is going to – they're going to want to do that with him more often, because the personality just came flowing out of that clip.
And, like, without being around him while he was here, he – and this is more of just his play on the field. And it's dramatically different than Jace, right? I mean, mm-hmm, Jace is going to let you know about it. Oh, yeah. Jace a little louder. But when you do that difference, it's like, oh, Josh doesn't talk at all. Like, Josh doesn't want to Josh Young does not not that he doesn't have a personality, but he's just flat and would rather keep to himself. And even. then you've gotten more and even. More even. Yeah, you've gotten more and more out of him. What was it last year when everyone was learning about how much he likes Star Wars? That interview was hysterical.
Right.
And then I know people that know
Mandalorian
him.
And all that stuff, yeah.
And like, people that know him and are in the inner circle, if you were to come up and say that, it's like, you know, yes, he's got a personality.
Yeah, sure.
But then you see this on like a national stage, and it's just kind of like mind blowing.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to say, but I think in general, just a likable player that he is. And you got like interviews like that happening. It's great stuff.
Yeah. And it's obviously a Red Raider, and it's so cool, a Texas kid getting to play in the state of Texas. I mean,
even though he grew up a Yankees fan.
Yes, he did, very much so. He and Jamie bonded over that, and no doubt. Before anybody knew who Josh, I don't say anybody, but till a very small group of people knew who he was. Yeah, it's funny. His dad sat in this studio with that for Nashville. He said, "I've got two sons. One, Josh, was the quarterback with the quarterback's personality. The other one, Jace, was the linebacker, the defensive end with his personality." And like, yes, you do. One's very even, and the other one's throwing bats and wanting to kill people.
That. That's a fantastic
it is.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
The accuracy. It is a tech talk. Get your questions in on the H Flooring Center chat line. One more on the other side.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.